Good morning. Good morning and greetings to each one. We're a smaller crowd this morning and I hope a lowly one. It's a joy to see all of you here. Welcome to the visitors. I appreciated the children's lesson and the opening, and I was thinking about compassion and the fact that for us to be able to have true compassion for others, we must have experienced compassion from the Lord Jesus. We must have learned how to experience and receive that into our hearts. And for us to have true compassion on others, we also have to come to the place where we are able to receive compassion from others. And some of us have a hard time with that. But God help us. Scripture says that we are to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Thank God for that comfort that enables us to comfort others. You know, if we never need comfort, according to this verse, we'll not know how to comfort others. And so thank God for times we need comfort because of its enabling grace in our lives. The title for the sermon this morning is Remember and Forget. But before we go into that, let's stand to our feet again for a word of prayer. Father, as we're gathered here in your name this morning, thank you that you're a living, compassionate Father God that joins with a needy group of people, with a needy group of humans, that man and woman who are but dust and ashes have such a high place in your mind and in your heart. Father, thank you for the compassion that you demonstrated so beautifully when Jesus walked on earth. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion that all of those have tasted who have turned to you in neediness and in brokenness. Father, thank you for that compassion, and help us, Lord, to be compassionate in return. Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning as we continue here. Father, help us to look into that living word and receive strength and encouragement and truth and wisdom from it in such a way that would affect our lives, that would help us to walk in more victory, Lord, in more grace, in more usefulness, and in more blessing, Father. We pray that you bless your word. Father, help me to share your word faithfully. Father, we pray that you would guide my lips, my tongue, and anoint the words this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Remember and forget. I thought about titling this something more complicated. Don't forget to remember. And be sure to remember to forget. But we're just going to call this Remember and Forget. I also thought about titling this Love Remembers and Love Forgets. Now, memory is a fascinating thing. Memory is part of the very essence of our being, our existence. Without memory, we would not know we exist. Just ponder that a while. Don't waste too much time on that this morning. It's a precious gift. It is very much a part of who we are. But memory that is left to itself, that is uncultivated, that is completely unpurposeful, will often turn into a very ugly monster. Forgetfulness is also a good gift. Imagine life where you forgot nothing. Imagine the clutter. Imagine the weight of the inability to forget anything. And so often we think of memory as very positive, forgetfulness is very negative, and in a large part they are so. But without the gift of being able to forget, life would become very unbearable and impossible. It really would. Stop and think about it sometime. So as much as it is a blessing to remember, it is also a blessing to forget. And in these two contradictions, the challenge for us is to find the right way to walk in remembering and forgetting. And with how important these two are, it's not surprising that the Scripture, the Word of God, has something to say about the things to remember and the things to forget. It's not surprising that that is there. Our goal in renewing our minds by the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost is to find the grace and the understanding to remember those things that God wants us to remember and forget those things that God wants us to forget. Now, there are often times when we remember things we wish we wouldn't and forget things we wish we'd remember. That happens in our lives a lot. It happens in my life a lot. You know, think about it. Sometimes the strangest things stick with you as a clear, vivid memory. And other times, it's amazing what a significant thing you can forget of your past. You know, someone's talking and recalling an incident, and it's gone. And you start doubting their recollection of it. It's fascinating how our minds work. And it's incredible that we have the capability of so completely forgetting and so vividly remembering. God made us that way. Memories also, it's good for us to know, memories also seldom stay the same. You ever notice that? They tend to either fade and diminish or grow. That's how memories are in our minds and in our hearts. The real facts can become faint, they can become distorted, or they can become very outsized. And we know that looking back into our youth, into our childhood. So memories, whether good or bad, they tend to shrink or grow. You look back today at some momentous things of your past and realize that was not that big after all. But you remember it that way. Other things you look back on and you realize it was huge, but it's diminished in your mind. It's gotten smaller as you go along the way. I was some time ago back in the old home place where I grew up and saw the old swimming hole. Now, I remembered that as a worthwhile swimming hole. And I remember the first time I swam across it from one corner to the other. It's nothing but a little mud hole, is it, man? Just a tiny little thing. The thing grew in my mind. Of course, I was smaller back then. But one thing, so there's a lot of fascinating things about our memories. There's things we should know about our memories, the way we tend to work, the way our minds tend to do things. It helps us to be less sure of ourselves sometimes. We remember it one way, another person remembers it another, and we have a hard time hashing it out. In fact, sometimes we remember something as though it happened to us when it didn't. Don't we, Silas? He likes to borrow some memories from me. But one common lie we believe is that we cannot help what is stored in our storehouse of memories. We believe often that that is outside of our ability to change. What this storehouse of memories, the song says precious memories, and so that fellow had a lot of precious memories, loving father, precious mother, however that song goes. We believe that we don't have the ability to affect what is stored right here in this precious part of our being, in our memory. You know, we can't help it that the country song wants to stick and the Bible verse doesn't. Can we? We think that too much. Somehow we think that the memory of the wrong I experienced 10 years ago that is still as fresh and new and painful as it ever was, we really can't help that. And that the good thing that happened that same year is just a fog in our memories. I would like to shatter that belief this morning. You know, there is an extent to which that is true. Our memories are formed by events in our lives, and those we cannot control. Our memories consist of experiences in our lives, and those, many of them, we can't control. They're outside of our ability to change. That much is true. But it is up to us, we see in the scripture, what we remember and how we remember. That is up to the believer to decide for himself with a renewed mind with the grace of God. And we would like to look at that this morning. Love remembers and love forgets. Remember and forget. You know, with the rarest of exceptions possibly, of which you and I are not one, we, not our circumstances, get to choose whether our storehouse is full of valuable, upbuilding memories or debilitating, crippling memories that drag us down. Let me say that again. It is up to us, not up to our circumstances, to determine what our storehouse of memories will contain as we go through life. Even if our lives are filled with difficulty, we can choose to remember what we ought to remember and forget what we ought to forget. The carnal mind gets this backwards. The natural mind, the old man, gets memory and forgetfulness backwards. He'll get it opposite from what we'll look at here in a few minutes. But the spiritual mind learns from the Word of God what to store and how to store it. Now, some of us have better, sharper memories than others. Some of us feel like our memories are getting weaker by the moment, by the day. But all of us have some memory in this room. There's no one with no memory. And that is what I'm talking about. The memory that we do have, what is that? How do those memories affect us? And memories are powerful to affect us. Stop and think about your most embarrassing moment. You ever do that? Laying there in bed, sometime you have time to think, and all of a sudden, this memory comes back of a serious blunder you made. You know how that your face gets red after the fact, or mine does. You know, and just thinking about it, you go through the embarrassment of it again. That's the power of a memory. It's the power of a memory. It's powerful. And your day can be going well, and a memory can turn it gloomy, depressing, troubled. Can it? Just a memory, just a trigger of a thought of something that is stored in here, either that should not be stored in here or is stored in here wrongly. Just a thought, and it ruins the day. God help us. Or a memory can come and help us feel cheerful and energized and encouraged. A memory that has been stored right. A right memory. I wonder if we asked and looked through history what has caused the most problems in churches and in families and in relationships. By the way, knowing what to remember and what to forget is a powerful thing in relationships. If we learn what love remembers and what love forgets, our marriage will change. Our relationship with our parents will change. It's a powerful thing in our relationships. But what has caused more problems? Things that have been forgotten that should have been remembered, or things that have been remembered that should have been forgotten? I believe it's the last one. I believe it's the things that have been remembered that should have been forgotten that cause more trouble in human relationships, in churches and homes and families. We can help each other in this, help each other to remember and forget. So we'll go into some scripture here and look at what the Word of God has to say to us in regards to this, and things we should remember, things we should forget, also how we should remember and forget. But before we do that, I would like to notice something about God. God remembers and God forgets, doesn't He? And I'm so grateful for that. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, I'm going to leave that one, sorry. We'll start there. That's fine. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God does not forget labors of love by his people. Another verse that speaks to this, and there are many more than what I will have here. Then they that feared the Lord, this is Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Those prayers, those talking one to another, were written in a book of remembrance. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 31, we read that Peter said to Cornelius, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. God remembered Cornelius's alms. And then, of course, we have those tremendously blessed scriptures where God talks about remembering us. Remembering one in Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God remembers. God remembers us, and God remembers our labors. God remembers our prayers in secret. God remembers the times when we were moved with compassion and got dirty. Got down and got dirty, helping someone and no one saw it. God remembers the sacrifice of time. He records that. He writes it down. God remembers secret fasting. He records it. He takes note of it. None of it is lost. God remembers when the opportunity was there to make money and it was spurned for the opportunity to minister to a soul. God remembers that. It's encouraging to me. God remembers when the day could have been profitable, but the phone call ruined it. God remembers that. I'm so thankful that our God remembers. God also remembers first love. He remembers it with fondness. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in the land that was not sown. God remembers that with fond memories. And Israel is backsliding. Is Ephraim my dear son? Jeremiah 31:20. Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. There's God's compassion again. But God does not forget when one sought after him. God does not forget his children. I'm so very grateful that God remembers. Every child of God should be incredibly grateful that God remembers. Now, God's memory is not so comforting for the sinner. God's memory is terrifying for the sinner. Jeremiah 14:10 says, thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus they have loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them, and he will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. And Hosea 7:2, and they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. I'm incredibly thankful as a child of God that God remembers. Thank God for that. God records. And God knows just what to remember. God also forgets. God also forgets. And when God forgets, it's not a slipping of the mind. God is infinite. God will never forget by slipping of the mind, but God forgets. He chooses to forget. By the way, that is how we must forget. That is how we must learn to forget, choose to forget. But listen to this, Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. And Jeremiah 31 and verse 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." These are familiar verses, but very beautiful verses. And of course, those are quoted in Hebrews twice. "And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." I'm so thankful that God forgets. Imagine a God that would just keep the account standing. Imagine a God that would point back to that account when we're getting weak, when we're beginning to wander. No, God forgets. God puts them away as if they were never done. It will remember no more. I'm so thankful that God forgets the sin that is so sinful, that is so shameful. God forgets if it has been repented and confessed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God forgets. The record's gone. It's wiped. God chooses not to retain it in his memory. It's gone. Always remember that God forgets. Always remember that God forgets. And never forget that God remembers. That's our God. He remembers and forgets. But now we come to our own. I just wanted to take a look at God there. And I know that we are not God. And that God has, as Sean mentioned, omnipotent power. He has the ability to do what we cannot do. It is right for God to remember the sinner's sin. There are ways in which God remembers and forgets that do not apply to us. But our great God does remember and he forgets, and it's right every time. Amen. We're the ones who get it messed up. And so I would like to look at what the scripture tells us about forgetting. And then lastly, about remembering. In Philippians chapter 3, we'll look at a few scriptures here and then we'll talk about how that fits into our lives. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Paul got done talking about his past. Paul got done talking about some good things in his past that could have been counted as good, that he counted as loss for Christ for a purpose. And then in verse 13 he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Forgetting those things which are behind. We'll come back to that. But another one that is very powerful in our lives is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And now our King James does not quite do justice to the meaning of this verse. It's good enough, but to study into the original language here gives you a broader perspective of what this verse says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know the chapter well and we know the verse well. We'll start reading in verse 4. "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." Thinketh no evil. If you look into what that means, it says love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not record evil. It keeps no record. In other words, love forgets evil and wrongs. You know, God does that for us. God is love. And he forgets wrongs. He forgets evil. He does not keep a record when it's under the blood of Jesus. We should do that for each other. We should do that freely for one another. Many of us have experienced both experiences, both aspects of this. Many of us have experienced relating to someone who has kept careful record of our wrongs. Many of us have experienced that. Maybe they weren't trying, but they've kept a record of our wrongs. We know what that's like. Many of us also have had experiences dealing with others in life that have kept no record of wrong, where love has forgotten. I've personally had experiences in my life when I mention an incident that I felt, still feel terribly about to the person, he couldn't remember it. I had failed him miserably. He forgot. Love keeps no record. Now, hopefully all of us have also tasted in our own lives the power of that. Have you ever felt like you're free and you're walking in clarity with someone, you've forgotten the things of the past, and then something new happens, and all of a sudden a whole catalog of past hurts come up? Something's wrong with the forgetting system. Something's wrong with what we're storing when that happens. And we'll look at a little more in regards to that. Our carnal minds are good at remembering and nourishing and nursing perceived wrongs or real wrongs, aren't they? It happens automatically. Our carnal minds have no problem doing that. God calls us to do the opposite. Scripture calls us to do the opposite. I was in a meeting years ago here. I was a deacon at the time when the elders met with a struggling family that was having trouble blending their hearts with the vision of the church, and there had been a lot of effort put into it. And so there was a meeting to call them to make a decision, to call them to decide whether their hearts would be able to blend with the vision here and they could be blessed and prosper here, or whether they needed to look elsewhere for fellowship. It was a good meeting. It was a blessed meeting. And that brother, the day after, very soon after, said he had never in his life had such a good meeting with a ministry team before. But somewhere that changed. A few short months later, in his mind, that meeting was one of the worst events that had ever happened to him. It was unmerciful. It was not compassionate. It was hasty. It was caught him off guard. Where did that happen? In his memory of it. In his memory of it. And I could give you countless instances where I have been floored at the person's view of it right after and how dramatically that changed in a few short months, and it's worse over years. God help us to be faithful in remembering and forgetting. Take Joseph. Joseph is a good example. Joseph had a very miserable sequence of events happen to him. And when his firstborn son was born there, things were not all healed from back there. Okay, his circumstances had changed. He was no longer in prison. He was now a ruler in Egypt. He was now an honored man in Egypt. But things at that point were still completely wrong between his brothers and him. He was still completely unreconciled at home. In Genesis 41:51, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and my father's house. That word toil is trouble. All my trouble and my father's house. Joseph knew what to remember and what to forget. And I think he's a good example for us in that. When we talk about forgetting, it is not denying that something happened. It is not denying the trouble that was there, but it is forgetting the bitterness of it. It is forgetting the injustice of it. It is taking the memory of it and adding God to it. And they become smaller. And God is glorified. the remembrance of the trouble was not obliterated from his mind. Okay, we know that. He acknowledged it later when his brothers showed up. It wasn't a mind blank. It wasn't some kind of deletion there. But he said, God has made me forget. There's a sense in which we are to forget none of God, if we are to forget none of God's benefits, that we must remember the trouble that he delivered us from. Okay, we're not talking about forgetting it to that degree. But Joseph forgot the misery. Joseph forgot the sting. Joseph forgot the burn. Joseph forgot the personal part of it. Joseph remembered the God part in his troubles. And God calls us to that. Remember, what we remember changes over time. It does. It tends to grow bigger or smaller. If you do not choose to forget the bitterness of your past, it will grow yet more bitter. And it'll hinder you. If you choose to forget, it will diminish in its size. It will not hold you back. It will allow you to bring glory to God. There's a painful memory in Dad in my past, and I don't know how clearly he remembers it, but it's foggy in mine. But at a very low point in our relationship, and the other evening as we were discussing some things with another father and son, I had to drag that memory back up. Why? Because I think both Dad and I have forgotten it the way Joseph forgot it. But I was able to remember it in its facts to try to encourage someone else. Does that make sense to you all? The bitterness is gone. The hindering is gone. Remember to forget. Now, young people, you can choose to forget the imperfections of your parents. You can choose to forget, or you can remember them. Guess what? They'll grow. You can choose to forget. The only other option is to remember, and they will grow. And guess what? Those little imperfections that God intended for your good now will become big problems that damage you in your memory, and they hold you back. Remember to forget. Isn't that a shame when damage is done not because of the little fault, but because of the memory that has grown into a big fault? And now we're not experiencing it even anymore. Sometimes we see that. The memory is damaging people, is cutting them up, is tearing away at their insides. The memory. Now, when we say forgetting, we're not talking about sweeping under the carpet. We're not talking about obliterating from our minds. There are things that we'll never forget in our lives that happened to us. Joseph was still aware of his past, but he had made peace with his memories of the past. Not talking about sweeping under the carpet. But I believe that forgetting is done by the same, by reversing the process used to remember. Forgetting can be done by the reverse process that we would use to remember. We'll get to the remembering soon. But to remember something, we must revive the image and hold it in our minds. And some things don't need a lot of effort to be done. Others that we want to remember, that we have a hard time remembering, we have to consciously bring it back if we're going to remember it. God instructed, now we're getting into remembering, but God instructed the Israelites to remember that day at the foot of Sinai. It could be forgotten, and they did forget. But to do that, they had to consciously relive. They had to consciously think back to it, roll it, hold it in their minds, and revive it again until it sticks there for good. It's pressed into our memory. To forget, you reverse that. When the bitterness of it comes into your mind, you turn to the great healer. Let him heal your soul and put it out of your mind. Instead of nursing it, instead of dwelling upon it, instead of thinking about it and reliving it 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And the memory, it's not happening today, the memory is damaging you. God help us to remember to forget with God's help. We're not talking about sweeping under the carpet. We're not talking about denial. We're talking about honesty with the facts, but making peace with those memories. Remembering the God side of those memories. Forgetting the personal side of them. Proverbs talks about a way to forget that is sweeping under the carpet and worse. It says, let him drink. The drunkard, let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So there's ways to drown memories. That's not what we're talking about. Drugs, alcohol, work. Drowning memories in something, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a God-conscious, faith-filled forgetting. Too often we remember and forget the wrong things. The Israelites one day remembered the fish and the leeks and the garlics. Why, they should have been remembering the whips and the bondage and the sweat and the labor and the misery. It would have helped them, but instead they looked back and remembered the good things of the sin life in the past. Hebrews says that truly if they had remembered, if they had been mindful, that is the same word as is translated remembered everywhere else, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had chosen to remember that, they might have returned. They chose to forget it. They chose to not be mindful of it. And they set their heart on another. So what should we forget? The injustices done to us by others. No need to nurse them. Forgive and let go and forget. No need to catalog them. No need to write them down. If you write them in a journal, maybe burn it. Forget the circumstances that drug us down. And instead, remember the circumstances that God used in our lives. Same memory, but filled with faith. Same memory, but instead of being damaged, I'm edified. Maybe we're going to run out of time here. Maybe I'll just read a little short poem. I love this poem about the very fine art of forgetting. Some of you may know it. B.Y. Williams wrote this. If we could get this in our lives and consistently and faithfully forget the right things in the right way, it would change our lives. And it would start today changing what we store in this storehouse, in this warehouse full of memories. And it would also deal with what's already been put in the storehouse full of memories. A very fine art of forgetting. Oh, is it worthwhile to remember too long the grievance that caused our small sorrow? It darkened our day and it silenced our song. Why carry it into tomorrow? Strange that we should choose to hold fast in our heart the thing that produces our fretting. 'Twould surely be better to take up the art, the very fine art of forgetting. Forget the unkindness that rankled a bit. Forget the quick words that were spoken. Shall we let the friendship we valued so long in one hapless moment be broken because we remember those words? And why do we take precious time to lament our blunders that prove so upsetting? If there's not mending, let's try for a while the very fine art of forgetting. Are yesterday's losses, are yesterday's fears, mistakes, we have some way lived through them, our keen disappointments, our heartache, our tears, what profits is now to hold to them? This world would be for us a happier place, and there would be less of regretting if we would remember to practice with grace the very fine art of forgetting. And I believe that if we look into the Word of God and what love would remember and what love would forget, we would not go wrong. We would live this poem. Remember to forget, and don't forget to remember. And so we'll quickly move these through this on remembering. Scripture has a lot more to say about what to remember. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11 to 12, and again, we just handpicked a few. There's many more scriptures that speak of remembering. Remembering God, remembering the law, remembering the Sabbath, many other scriptures that speak of that, but we just handpicked a few. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Remember His marvelous works that He had done. Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Or in other words, remember all His benefits. Psalm 77:11-12. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Remember. Now, remembrance also takes effort. Because remember, we said that we get to choose what we remember and what we forget. We're not helplessly caught in what this unruly mind. We're called to renew this mind by the grace and the Spirit of God. And we're not off the hook just because we remember the bad so easily and can't remember the good. We're not off the hook. God gave us instruction on remembering and forgetting. God does not give instruction on things that we cannot change. Called to renew our minds. So remember the good things from God. Remember His works. Remember the answered prayer. Remember the deliverance from difficulty. Remember the good things that God did through the difficulty. Doesn't that change the memory of our difficulty if we are able to look back and see how God faithfully brought us through? And maybe someday even add to the memory of it the good thing that God did in our lives through that difficulty? That completely changes the memory. We forget the bitterness. We forget the old and remember the new. Remember also the good things of God coming through others. You ever met someone who has, maybe an older person, and story after story after story of how they've been wronged? You ever met someone like that? On and on. And these things range from really small to really big and go back 20, 30, 40 years. Memories. Talk about precious memories. Why not instead catalog the good things, the favors, the blessings, the kind words? There's no one in this room that doesn't have enough to make a catalog. No matter how miserable our life, no matter how miserable our past, there is no one who would not have enough to make that catalog, to make the song Precious Memories real. Remember the kind words. Remember the encouragement. Remember the favor someone did you. Remember the carnal mind is opposite. The carnal mind will remember the slams and forget the encouragements. Now, not remembering this in a way that makes us proud, cataloging all the affirmation we've ever received and trying to build an identity on that. You know what I mean. But remembering in a way that makes us feel undeserving, grateful, thankful, and unworthy of how good God and people are to you. You ever met someone like that? An old person where it's just story after story of the blessings, of the good things of people have done, of the blessings they've received. That doesn't happen on accident. And most of the time, you compare their lives, and there's no difference. They both had hard things, they both had difficulties and disappointments, and they both had good things. Sometimes even, it's the opposite of what you would think it to be. You dig into this older person's life who is remembering all these good memories, and you find they had an incredibly difficult life. But they chose to forget and they chose to remember. They walked through it with God and they let God sanctify the storehouse of memories. And sometimes when you dig into these people who've been chipped all their life, who've been shorted all their life, who've been mistreated all their life, they actually had a very amazing set of circumstances around them. They ruined it by their attitude. But remember the good things. Purposefully fill the memory storehouse with things of God's blessings, with things of God's faithfulness, with things of God's answered prayers. Too often we forget. Too often we forget to give testimony to them, to give God thanks even, much less 10 years later to remember it fresh and new, that answered prayer. But we can remember other things that way. Fill your memory storehouse with those things. If you journal, write them down. Look for them and write them down. You know, sometimes it's a problem of noticing them in the first place. We need to notice those things, watch them, and then remember them. This brings God glory, and it can change our lives. Remember the power of a storehouse full of good memories? And instead of that evil memory that drags you down, creeping on you one day when you're otherwise doing well and ruining the day for you, you can have a good memory sneak up on you and enrich your day because the storehouse is full of them. Scripture also talks about remembering where we came from. We don't have time to go into that. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. That was dear to God's heart. He said that over and over to the children of Israel. Remember the unworthiness. Remember the nothingness. Remember that we were sinners when Christ died for us, just like other people. Scripture says we're to remember our own mess that we were. And I think, lastly, I would like to just say, Scripture instructs us to remember who we are. When we look into the Word of God and we see ourselves like in a mirror, we see our faults, we see the needs. It says the forgetful hearer is the one who walks away and forgets what he saw there. Scripture calls us to remember that too. The call for us this morning is to take inventory of our memory warehouse. By looking at your warehouse full of memories, you can tell whether you've faithfully applied God's principles in what you've remembered and what you've forgotten. Your warehouse will tell you that. It'll tell you whether love is dictating what you remember and what you forget, or whether self is. It will tell you whether you were truly following the direction of God's word and example in this matter. If we are, that's wonderful. That's beautiful. And I believe many brothers and sisters here are. Our lives will continue to be blessed by that storehouse full of memories. And guess what? Others' lives will be blessed by that storehouse full of memories, remembering God's wonderful works to the children of men, through the children of men to us. Others will be blessed and enriched just as much as you by that store of God-touched, God-sorted, and God-enriched memories. But if we look into that warehouse and we realize that we've not been walking in God's grace on this, it's high time to seek God's grace to change, to seek the power of God to change. Otherwise, the poison of those faithless, selfish and unloving memories will continue to leach into our lives. That memory will come along, like I said, at the most inopportune moment. And when you could have been a blessing, make you a discouragement. It will leach into your own life and the lives of those around you. You can't keep it from doing that. The storehouse of poisonous memories. You'll find yourself cheated, feeling cheated, unthankful, miserable, and continually feeling shorted. And I say it's high time to seek the grace of God to change. High time, because you're daily adding to that storehouse. The storehouse is never full. Every single day, there's memories that get put there, and you alone can choose what those look like. You can't choose what happens to you today and tomorrow, but you can choose what the memories look like that get stored away. You can choose what you purposefully remember and purposely forget. If you leave it up to what happens naturally, and you've not been living this way, this does become habitual, thank God. There's a new way of thinking that becomes much more natural to us. But when we've not been used to operating that way, when we've not been used to thinking that way, it has to be incredibly purposeful. The store gets bigger and more impactful as time goes on. What are you storing? What are you storing in that warehouse? What are you going to store today in that warehouse, this week? What are you going to do about the store that's in there from the past? Does that need to be sorted? Does there need to be some healing? Don't forget to remember, and always remember to forget. And I'll close with one more short little poem that I like. Very impactful in the quality of our lives, in how much glory God gets out of our lives, in our relationships, and in our ability to bless others. Forget each kindness that you do as soon as you have done it. Forget the praise that falls to you the moment you have won it. Forget the slander that you hear before you can repeat it. Forget each slight, each spite, each sneer, wherever you may meet it. Remember every kindness done to you, whatever its measure. Remember praise by others won and pass it on with pleasure. Remember every promise made and keep it to the letter. Remember those who lend you aid and be a grateful debtor. Remember all the happiness that comes your way in living. Forget each worry and distress. Be hopeful and forgiving. Remember good. Remember truth. Remember heavens above you. And you will find through age and youth true joys and hearts to love you. Let God sort through your memories and your memory system and teach you what to remember and what to forget. God bless you.